You're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast, and I'm about to peel back the avocado of a real life health nut so you can see how fat sustainable wellness can be. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. Okay, probably the most common question I get, aside from can I pet your dog, is what matcha do you recommend? Up until like 2 months ago, I did not have a good answer. Also, up until 2 months ago, I didn't own an eyelash curler, so shout out to my sister's girlfriend for helping me step up my grooming game at the ripe age of 30. But the thing is, a true, pure, ceremonial-grade matcha can swim circles around an eyelash curler because the kind of upbeat, non-jittery energy that a truly great matcha provides can perk you up from eyelash to toe hair. If you haven't really experienced that with matcha, or if you've had a grossa matcha experience, when you drink Tenzo's matcha, you will know what I mean. Yes, Tenzo is my answer to what matcha do you recommend? Developed by two energy-seeking professional volleyball players who were tired of crashing from caffeine, Tenzo handpicks only the freshest, the greenest, and the most delicious green tea leaves straight from a 100% organic farm in Japan. The result is the most photogenically emerald green matcha my eyes have ever seen, and the smoothest, truly least bitter matcha my mouth had the pleasure of entering into it. You gotta try getting your calm energy boost from Tenzo's matcha, an energy boost, BT dubs, that comes from both the caffeine in the matcha and the naturally occurring amino acid L-theanine, which is what helps your body process caffeine differently than it does coffee, which is why coffee gives you an enormous energy crash and matcha gives you steady alertness that can nix brain fog, low mood, mental exhaustion, and help you slay your day or your namaste. You also have to be really careful where you buy your matcha, you know, you guys. Some companies are selling low-quality blends that mix in sugar and other types of crap to cover the coarse and gritty taste of the matcha. That is no bueno and not the MO of Tenzo. Okay, so to take Tenzo on a spin, go to tenzotea.com/party. That's Tenzo, T-E-N-Z-O-T-E-A. TenzoTea.com/party to save a joyful 20% on their matcha. You can even subscribe to get their matcha sent to you without even thinking about it. Yes, please, and thank you. Again, go to TenzoTea.com/party to get your matcha cha on for 20% less than everyone else. Woo hoo. Nicole Goncalves is the gal behind the beloved and mega popular YouTube channel, which has over 39 million views, Health Nut Nutrition. And in this here episode, she gave me the Beyond Nutshell Scoop on all things food, nutrition, and sustainable, approachable wellness and Trader Joe's. We recorded this chat on National Avocado Day, and believe you me, this convo was all I have Avo wanted. Okay, sorry for the guac word pun. What I love about this chatty Canadian, yes, she did say sorry, and yes, I did make fun of her for it, is that she has such a down-to-earth approach to healthy eating and happy living. Her relationship with food has never been a rocky one, and so her words are confident and super refreshing to hear. We talk about how she found her calling, what it's like running her vlog from the bottom now she here, her new brand for plant-loving pups, meditation, smoothie recipes, body shaming, and her upcoming book debut. For a talk that'll have you as much on board for hypnosis as it will get you drooling over dessert, keep on listening. Nicole, thank you so much for coming on the Party in My Plants podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
Yeah, this has been a long time coming. You know, I've been admiring you from afar for a very long time. And then we were going to do this like a year ago, and you sneakily told me you had a book coming out. And then I put it on pause, and I wanted to circle back when you were done with said book. And now we're here.
It seems like so long ago, but also just around the corner, which is kind of crazy. But time flies when you're writing a book.
Time flies when you're writing a book. So tell me everything. How did you become a health nut?
I mean, I always feel like, do you want the short or long answer?
Long. But we'll do the long, and I will interrupt you as needed.
Okay, perfect. Well, you know, basically growing up, I feel like I kind of got into food and healthy eating pretty much from my mom. I feel like she instilled a lot of healthy eating habits in me and my family. Like, I grew up with three other siblings and I live in a Portuguese household. So like lots of food, lots of home cooked food and all of that. So I kind of already started, I feel like, at a good base. Mm-hmm. And then growing up, you know, you get into like not having the best eating habits. You know, I was getting into like skipping breakfast, drinking coffee till noon. I was kind of a workaholic. And it wasn't really until I went away for college, I moved to Toronto and I was, you know, renting a dorm there and cooking a lot for myself. And I started to realize if I'm going to be spending money and time on making my own meals, I want it to be something that's going to fuel me and make me feel good. Because at a pretty young age, I quickly realized the correlation between food and my health, my mental health, my mood, how it made me feel, if I was tired.
How did you realize that at such a young age? I mean, that's like a huge revelation. That's like most of my work is helping people understand that correlation. So how did that come to you? I mean, this isn't just like you wake up one day and you're like, oh, hey, you know, food affects everything in my life and my body. How did that happen for you?
I know, I totally get it. And I get that a lot. Like, how do you have this relationship with food? I think I'm a pretty sensitive person, not necessarily emotional, although probably that too. Just if you ask my boyfriend, you know, he probably would agree. But I would say just like intuitively, I feel like I'm really able to, I don't know if this is just like something that's come naturally to me. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm really able to kind of listen into my body and how I feel when I do or eat certain things. And I think everyone has that deep down mm-hmm. in them. It's just about kind of getting in tune with that. And I just kind of noticed like I didn't feel the way I wanted to feel. If I got up in the morning and I didn't feel productive or motivated, I actually really hated that. So I would be like, okay, like, I don't know if I want to go drinking and party with my friends all night, because I would think about the next morning, like, oh, I'm not going to be able to do this or do that and what I really wanted to do, because I always have struggled with being a night owl, but also a morning person.
What? So what is how?
I'm like a kid where I never want to go to bed, I also love getting up in the morning.
That's and by adorable.
Night, by night owl though, like I can't work on an essay at 10 p.m. at night. It's more like I'm just awake and I just want to like hang out and have fun like, not go to bed.
That's adorable. So like every night with your boyfriend's like a sleepover party. It's what it sounds like.
Pretty much. It's midnight and I'm like, oh, only one last episode of Stranger Things. Okay, fine.
That's funny. And then you just wake up early, refreshed.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know right? how many people want to be you? Maybe this is proof of your not healthiness.
Oh, trust me, there's ups and downsides to being me. So I would say it was a lot of just basically, and also too, I felt like I had a lot of moodiness when I was not eating right. If I don't know, my food really did affect and still does affect my personality and mood and energy levels. And like I said, mm-hmm. I think I'm just like very sensitive to my environment and what I put into my body. Mm-hmm. That being said, I, you know, if I have a glass of wine or eat a bunch of cake or something, I feel good too, but that is not a sustainable thing.
Yeah, totally. It sounds like it just came naturally to you. And I think that when people become aware that food affects our mood and our energy and all the things, then it becomes natural to them too. I think it's just a realization. Like, you know, you learn about gravity and then you're like, there's gravity. I mean, I guess you don't go around the world like there's gravity, but you learn that.
I stop and think, yeah, it's really weird, you know?
There's gravity. Yeah. Good. Thank you. Thank you so much for validating that. But then it's like, yeah.
I was just going to say, I also think that some people don't know how good they can feel.
Yes.
Like, all the time. Oh. But if you are so used to eating, because people ask me all the time, well, like, don't you crave fast food and stuff like that? And it's like, yeah, sometimes. And sometimes I eat it. But also I remember what it makes me feel like. And when you remove those foods and you actually know what it's like to feel not lethargic and sleepy and tired all the time and just super heavy, your body like doesn't want to feel like that. So then you start to crave the healthier things because it's just like, it's in our instincts to want to be healthy. No one deep down wants to be unhealthy and, you know, die at an early age. So it's like, we want to do what we can to survive and feel good and thrive. And so I just think it's really, yeah, like I said, until you remove certain foods or eat a certain way or live a certain way, you don't really know how good you can feel.
Oh my, I feel like I'm talking into a mirror right now, if that makes any sense. We are so on the same page. I've said the same thing 1,000 times. And I mean, understanding how great you can feel is what makes it that you don't need willpower to eat healthfully. So you just naturally were like learning about your bod, feeling good, eating healthfully. And then how did you become like full-blown health nutty lady?
I love that. So, you know, I was cooking for myself. I was in school for business marketing, funny enough. And at the same time, I started to take a couple of courses on nutrition and health. And it was just like side courses and that I was taking at my college. And I really loved it, like so much that I aced them. I remember coming home to my boyfriend, Matt, who I'm still with today. Aww. And I told him, you know what? I think I know what I want to be. I know what I want to be when I grow up. at 20 years old, I was like, I want to be a holistic nutritionist, you know? And I bounce around a lot. Like, I'll have like all these ideas, but then when an idea sticks, I'm like indecisive until I'm not. And then I had this idea. I said, I want to be involved in the health and wellness industry. I want to help people. As I'm like learning to help myself, I want to help others. And so I thought, okay, well, I'm still going to finish my business marketing course. And then afterwards, I want to go back to school to become a holistic nutritionist. And at the same time, I was following other people local to Toronto that were holistic nutritionists, but also in the social media world. Like they were taking their businesses online, which I thought was just so exciting. We were barely touching that in my marketing courses. Like the online marketing was still fairly new. That makes me seem really old, but it was like just, it wasn't a thing to be an influencer or content creator or YouTuber. So I was so fascinated by this world. So fast forward, I finished school. I was working at a telecommunications company. And on the side, I was like deep diving into the world of YouTube that I had just discovered. And I don't even know how I did work at this job. I was YouTubing everything. And in the back of my mind, I was thinking, I can do this. Like, I want to do this. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I know deep down, like, I need to make this happen. So while I was at this job, apparently working,
quote unquote.
I was working on it was like an internal health website for the business. And it was just like an initiative that they were doing with these doctors and stuff. And it was just about trying to get the employees to like walk more and like be healthy and think about their health goals. So it was this internal health website and I was the coordinator for it. I was in charge of like putting all the content together. And I thought, hey, like, can I have a column? And I started this column called Ask Health Nut. And I had my own weekly column. And this just got emailed out to like all the employees, which the company I worked for was Rogers. It's like a huge telecommunications company. So it was sent out to a lot of people.
Okay, cool.
And I would share like recipes, healthy tips, like such basic information that I was just really excited about. And then that's kind of what stemmed over to the blog. I remember I asked my boss, I was like, can I take this like onto my own kind of website blog thing? And it was like one of those, you know, .wordpress.com websites. It's like a free one, nothing exciting. And I started blog a little bit on the side, but it wasn't picking up traction and I wasn't really totally fulfilled. And it wasn't until, so a lot of stuff happened in these like couple years, but it wasn't until my boyfriend and I moved to Australia it was supposed to be a year and then ended up being 2 years.
Oh.
So basically while I was working at this job, we were on the side, like planning to leave the country for like an extended period of time. So we were like planning, saving, and
just for funsies or why were you moving there?
Yeah, for fun. Like when I met Matt, he had always had this dream to move to Australia. And I always wanted to go to like Southeast Asia and have that cultural shock. And we decided to do both. And I had never really known too much about Australia. I hadn't done much traveling when I was younger. And Matt really kind of took me under his wing and was a huge traveler.
My husband, the same exact thing. I hadn't gone anywhere. And he's like already at, when I met him, had lived in Japan and Bangladesh and Thailand. And I like hadn't even been to Europe. So I feel you.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Because I was, my first flight was to Cuba with him for a destination's wedding. So I was so sheltered, never left the country. And he kind of told me all this amazing stuff about Australia, the surfer's country. And I was totally hooked. And I thought, I need to come. And obviously, I didn't want to leave him. So I was super excited. We planned this trip. We went there. And while we were there, that's kind of when I had, we were working there. I was bartending here and there. But, we were mostly there to travel and enjoy. We saved up a big chunk of money to be able to, because Australia ain't cheap. So we were there. And before we started the actual Health Net Nutrition channel, as what everyone knows to be today, we started vlogging, which was a very new thing at the time. Mm-hmm. Everyone would be like, what's vlog? Like vlogging? I'm like, no, vlogging.
They're like, why do you have a lisp?
Exactly. They're like, what? You don't know what that means? And we thought it'd be fun to create this website just for our friends and family to stay connected. We had a URL that only they knew, and we would post travel videos of just us literally vlogging throughout these different states and stuff through Australia during our travels, and we would upload these videos. I was horrible on camera. It was all Matt. And I don't even know who edited the videos. It was probably him. I knew nothing. And I was intrigued by it all. And then so as we got comfortable in front of the camera and stuff, I decided to just film a video for the main channel. And that's kind of where it started. So it's kind of weird how it started in Australia, but it was not consistent. It was here and there, whenever I kind of felt the spark to film. And because the first video I think took an hour just to say a word in front of the camera.
Yeah.
So awkward. Yeah. And most of those videos are still there today. So I always feel when people share their story, they share the beginning stages and stuff and then where they are today. But the truth is after we left Australia and came back to reality, it was a struggle. I was working, hustling, sacrificing to grow the channel. And I realized what really made the difference was being consistent, uploading every week, being engaged in the online community, connecting with other YouTubers that were local to me. And just, that grind, that if you really want something to grow, it's not luck. You can get lucky sometimes, but you can't rely on that.
Yeah.
If you're so passionate about something, you can make it into a career path. It's just, are you willing to make the sacrifices or put in the work that you need to do in order for it to grow into that vision that you have for it? So fast forward to today, after all the ugly, middle, yucky stuff, things are even more crazy, but we have a amazing community online. It's actually insane. I feel every time I run into a Health Net subscriber, I'm still just blown away by, oh my God, they watched the channel. I'm grateful. It's just so cool. The type of community that you can build now online and make a job out of it.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's go you. It's really cool. I remember hearing you on our mutual friend Davida's podcast, sharing about your first video that kind of went viral, right? When you were still in your job and tell us the story.
So that video was a what I eat in a day at work. And it's so funny because it's this whole thing about people wanting to know what you eat in a day. It seems like a weird concept, but they're so much fun to watch.
I know. I made one once and it was really hard. It was really time consuming, making a cooking video is really specific, straight to the point, but documenting a full day. Oh, it was very challenging.
Yeah, it definitely takes some planning. Yes. People don't realize that, but it is a lot of work. So this trend was kind of popping up in the YouTube world. And I think what really helped my channel was people could relate to me. There was a lot of YouTubers that were sharing what I eat in a day videos in their pajamas, making fancy acai bowls, for breakfast. And that wasn't my life. I'm still working a 9-to-5 job. I'm commuting 3 hours a day. And I have to pack my lunch just like everyone else. And I have to plan my meals. And I thought of this idea. It was not out, from my knowledge, it was not out there in the YouTube world yet. And I thought, why don't I actually film a realistic what I eat in a day at work video? And I think what was really appealing to this video and why it did quote unquote go viral for me was the fact that, yeah, people could relate. Oh my gosh, you're commuting on the GO train. You have packed your food. You're sharing your work environment that's not in your pajamas in bed filming YouTube videos because people only saw one side of me. And even though that isn't my life today, I've been there, I've lived it. So now when I do my meal prep videos and stuff, I have that in the back of my mind. Mm-hmm. But that video quickly, it basically was what brought us from like 80,000 subscribers to that 100,000 subscriber mark, which was so crazy.
That's awesome. That's really, really cool. So if you had to give us like the nutshell statement of what you are about, what is the simplest way to sum it up?
I mean, I guess once again, just like listening to your body because it knows best, eating intuitively and less processed foods, mm-hmm. eat more mm-hmm. whole foods. And of course more plants, as I know you like to as well. And I just, yeah, basically that as a whole, listen to your body, eat intuitively because your body knows best.
Yeah, because you're really outspoken-ish about not calorie counting and not being into labels and not being into dieting. How did you become so like anti-locking yourself into things? You know, I mean, it sounds like you didn't grow up with any food issues, no funky relationships to food. You're just like a gal who likes to put healthy stuff in their body to feel great. So how do you combat like the calorie counting mentalities and the dieting and, you know, like this is your recipe paleo? Oh, I only pay, oh, it's oil-free. Like how do you deal with labels and all that stuff?
Yeah, and I totally get it because I think it's almost uncommon to have a healthy relationship with food nowadays.
Yeah.
And it's like almost you have to have a bad relationship with food in order to have like the success story or something like that. And when I think of labels, I think they are short term. And unless you have like a health concern such as celiac disease or a digestive issue like Crohn's, like that you need to eat a certain way, then I really think you need to listen to your body and be flexible. What your body needs today is probably going to be different than what your body needs next month or next year. I look at labels more as guidelines and rules. And, you know, I've been through it all. I've done the raw till four, which does not work when you live in Canada. Like it just doesn't. And I've done the gluten-free, the vegan, the like so many different types of eating. And like what I've come to realize is that just like, what works for someone else doesn't necessarily work for me. And like things come in like seasons and things are always changing. Nowadays, like I might go a week that I eat plant-based and next week I might be like, if I see another gluten-free slice of bread in my life, like I'm going to lose it. So I just think it's important to really be flexible, let your diet kind of, well, I hate that word like diet, but like your eating habits change and just, it, I don't know, nowadays you're seeing like all those like ex-vegans on YouTube and stuff or people doing, I mean, there's crazy diets now. There's like the carnivore diet. There's the fruitarian diet. There's all these diets out there. And what happens is, you know, with social media, they're promoting this way of eating. And then other people are thinking, oh my God, they're thriving. They're living their best life. This is the way I need to eat.
Yep.
And they're ignoring their warning signals. So, and it's not to say that, you know, just eating a certain way that if something works for someone else, it's not going to work for you. But it's just about understanding that your body functions different than someone else on social media. And the scary thing is these people are promoting these diets and labels and they're not even working for them half the time. They're maybe like showing one side of the story, but then later down the road, you realize they have all these health issues.
Yeah.
Because they were following someone else's diet. It's like this whole, like, I don't know, domino effect. And I think you just, to like step back, not be influenced by social media and realize like, hey, what makes me feel my best? Is it green smoothies? Like people ask me why I drink a smoothie every day because I feel so damn good when I drink a smoothie in the morning. I don't need someone on Instagram to tell me that green smoothies are good for you because they're good for me and they make me feel amazing.
Even in the winter.
Oh yeah. Wow. I like them cold winter or like, you know, so obviously in the wintertime I'll crave a bowl of oatmeal and stuff, but and I'll switch it up. But like I have green smoothies like definitely four times during the week.
What is your go-to green smoothie?
Ooh. Okay. Well, really, I mean, I talk about variety on my channel, but really my green smoothie is usually the same thing.
Oh, you heard it here first, folks.
So much so that like Matt has memorized my recipe and he makes it now in the morning, aww, which is really awesome if like he gets up before me. I love banana, like, so I do frozen fruit. So frozen banana, frozen mango. I love a bit of fresh raw ginger in there. I like cinnamon, cucumber, which I know a lot of people don't put in their smoothie, but I just think it's so refreshing and it just kind of adds in more greens. I always put greens. This is the other thing too, smoothies. I'm like, why make a smoothie without greens? It's so easy to throw
You don't them in. Taste them. Yeah, totally.
You don't. Yeah. So I make a variety on my channel, not just green, but like, to be honest, if I make a blue smoothie, I'm going to just throw in some greens. So I like kale or baby spinach. And then I will always throw in some type of fiber in there. So chia seeds or flaxseed. Lots of ice. And then for liquid, I usually do unsweetened oat milk and then some water. I actually have like a video on like my top smoothie mistakes. And I think people tend to put way too much fruit and like way too much milk, like whether real cow's milk or nut and seed milk. I think that unless you're making it fresh at home, you know, the store-bought ones are still like, there's still additives in there. Just like use water. The banana in there, especially if you're putting like a vegan, like vanilla protein powder in there, like that's going to make it creamy. But, and then of course, I just love that cinnamon in there. It just is good for the sugar balancing.
Yeah. You know, I don't put ice in my smoothies ever. I feel like I don't love what it does to the texture. I go with the frozen fruits. Interesting. You do the ice.
Yeah. I like the mixture. So I do like the creamy frozen fruit. And then I just add a little bit more ice because I feel like the cucumber isn't frozen. I don't know. I like smoothies extra cold.
Wow. You like it cold. You in Canada, yeah, like refreshing. It cold up there.
Yeah. Give me that icy smoothie.
No, but see, that's the thing. Like what works for you isn't exactly what I would want. You know, just point proven here that we all have to listen to ourselves. If somebody's listening and they're like, I don't know how to listen to my bod, what advice would you have for them?
I would say, you know, just really, I guess like, whenever you're eating, take out distractions. You know, it's easy to like scarf something down in a couple of minutes and not really actually think about how that food made you feel. I tend to just naturally be a very slow eater. I actually resented this and hated it growing up because I'd be the last one eating at the dinner table or at a restaurant with friends. But like nowadays, that slowing down, chewing your food, not only is really good for digestion, but it also allows you to connect more with your food. And I know that seems so like woo-woo, but it really does. Like you understand how that food makes you feel. I know right away if we eat something, I'm like, oh, that had a lot of salt in it. Like, cause I'm stopping and reflecting on what I ate. And I'm like, I'm so thirsty or I feel tired. And I think just, yeah, slowing down and reflecting after you're done your meal to see how you actually feel is a really great way to eat intuitively and be in tune with how you're feeling with whatever it was that you ate.
Yeah, that's great. So what's interesting is that you say you've always been the last one eating. So it sounds like you've been like this really slow moving, like chill gal. But I know that you've actually struggled with anxiety. So, you know, you say that you even live with high functioning anxiety. So how is that so? If you are this chill lady who's always the last one at the table and everyone's like, can you hurry up? But you're telling me you live with anxiety. Talk to me about that.
So it's funny, this whole high functioning anxiety is something that I've kind of just recently discovered. And I'm like, yeah, that's me.
Yeah. Tell me what that means.
Oh, maybe I can look up the exact, well, there's an exact, like, it's not a real defined thing, but there is like a definition you can find online. But basically for me, what it means is someone who, because sometimes when people think of anxiety, they think of someone who's curled up in bed all the time. They can't do, like, they're just like crippled by anxiety and they're not going to be able to get out there in the public eye, be successful, run a business on all of that. And when I discovered this whole term high functioning anxiety, I was like, this is literally me in a nutshell. And it's basically someone who is, I guess from like an outside point of view, it looks like they got everything going. They're like charismatic, they're outgoing, they're successful, they're hardworking and all this stuff. But really behind it all, not that like myself or people that have this are being fake, but it's almost like these things help me push through and manage my anxiety. So naturally, I'm a very social and outgoing person. I love being on TV. I love being in the public eye and doing all these things. But It's like my anxiety is still always kind of there with me. And sometimes it's a driver, sometimes it holds me back. But it's just like someone who's able to do all these things, but still dealing with anxiety. Because I feel like anxiety comes in so many shapes and forms. And sometimes my anxiety is crippling and it does stop me from doing a lot of things. But I think for me, sometimes it's actually being able to kind of do all of these high energy tasks and the type of job I have, it almost helps me like push through my anxiety, I guess you could say.
Yeah. So how have you learned to manage it? I mean, I've heard you talk about your morning routine and how that makes a huge difference. Can you take us through a stroll of your AM?
Yeah. So I love routines. I talk about it a lot on my channel. I'm like a creature of habit. I really love the same, like I like variety, but just like my green smoothie, I do like routine. And for my morning routine lately, it's been very consistent. So basically beginning of last year, I decided to like crack it down with my anxiety. I thought enough is enough. And I'm going to seek some help, different things that I haven't been doing, saying that I've been wanting to do them and I just haven't. And one of them was meditation. So specifically hypnosis, which is basically meditation, but it's yeah. just a little bit different. So I started to see a hypnotist and I basically from then and there started implementing daily meditation or hypnosis, whatever you want to call it, into my life. And I since then have just kept it up and it's now a part of my morning routine. And so I basically meditate 30 minutes in the morning. Sometimes I don't like to tell people 30 minutes because they're like, oh, well, that like who has time for that? But when you do something, first off, it's not when you're trying something new, it's really not until you do it consistently that you really notice the benefits. I used to meditate here and there, but usually when I was like in like panic mode, not necessarily just for
maintenance or prevention.
Exactly. And it wasn't until I was doing it for weeks where I realized that, holy crap, like big changes have happened. Like my anxiety was so bad, I would say beginning of last year. And within only a few weeks of me doing this daily meditation, I went on like my first helicopter ride over Niagara Falls. Like I would have never said yes to that before. And not only did I do it, but I was like so calm in that helicopter. Like Matt was tapping me on the back, on the shoulder, because I was in the front, like giving me the thumbs up. Like, aww, are you okay? Because I was kind of terrified beforehand. And I was able to do it and like enjoy the experience without the feeling of anxiety. So since like starting that whole meditation journey, that is like something that I do every day in the morning. And when something changes your life, you make it a habit.
Just like eating the green smoothies and all the healthy plants.
Right? So, exactly. So back to like, that was kind of a tangent, but back to like my morning routine, I get up, I drink a ton of water. I always have like a glass of water on my nightstand. I'm like pointing to it right now.
Nice. I see.
And then you see it, right?
Yeah.
In the clear glass. So I'll drink that. And then basically I'll like get up, go say hi to Matt, Miss Cashew and our pup. And then I will basically grab my headphones and my laptop to do my meditation. If I don't do it right in the morning, I just like going to the gym, I lose motivation. And then I end up doing it at night and falling asleep to it. And it's just not the same. So I like to do it first thing in the morning when I'm still kind of groggy. And then I will I also don't touch my phone, like go on social media for an hour after waking up.
Go girl.
It's hard. But once you start doing it, you just kind of forget about it.
Are you in airplane mode overnight?
Yes.
Yeah.
If someone needs
take
me, they can
flight.
Call
Matt. Nice.
Right? I'm flying at night, don't disturb. So those are things I always do. It's like the water, meditate, no social media in the morning. And then of course my green smoothie. So whether it's like myself making it or Matt making it, cause he's been doing it lately and I'm kind of like loving it. So we make smoothies for both of us. And that's kind of like my morning routine. And then obviously I'll do like, I usually just hop right into like emails and work because I kind of like a slow morning because I work from home. But then usually I'd say just before lunchtime is actually when I get changed and do my skincare routine. If we're going to be real.
Nice. We got a whole skincare routine.
Yes. I try to do like natural organic skincare products. I've gotten both Matt and myself on them now. And You know, my skin has never felt better. I feel like definitely less is more. And knowing what's, if I can't eat it, I usually try not to put it on my face.
I like that. That's a great rule. And I assume you have lots of vids on your skincare routine and morning routine and all this jazz, right?
Oh my God. I have more than seasons.
So pivoting slightly to something a little sweeter, I actually have a lady who's from Toronto originally who helps me do podcast research. And she, as she was writing your notes, she wrote, I love how dessert focused her stuff tends to be. So I want you to tell me about your relationship to dessert.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that because I think when I first started my channel, all I was posting was breakfast and dessert. It was so funny because it's like, I didn't realize that until people would be like, can I get some like lunch meals, some like real dinner meals and stuff like that? So
I'm the same way. Baked goods all the way. Baked goods and smoothies is like all that I post. It's like I have to force myself to do savory.
Yeah. So it's, so over the years, I was like, okay, over the months, I was like, okay, I really need to get some like real, like a variety of different meal groups here. So naturally, I just love, I think they're just my favorite meals of the day, breakfast and dessert. So that's definitely why I post what I eat and what I love. So even though I obviously, you know, I love cooking dinner and all that stuff, I think when I'm creating recipes, I'm just drawn to like sweets and breakfast. And I mean, breakfast can be any meal of the day. So it's really like I'm covering all the bases. But yeah, I definitely, those are just my favorites. And they pop up a lot on my channel.
Yeah. What's your go-to dessert? And do you have dessert every day?
I don't have dessert every day, although I do crave it every day. Sometimes I just like, I'm like, oh, there's nothing made, or I don't want to just eat ice cream out of a bucket every night. So
a bucket. You know,
I'm just thinking of like those little, what are the ones the So Delicious, the salted, was it the salted cashew cluster one or something?
Ooh, I can't bring pints of ice cream into the house. That is a no-go for me because the bucket will be empty.
Right? I know. So that's why I'm like, yeah, I don't want to go to the store and get one. Because last night I was like, man, I really wish, you know, I'm on my period this week. And I was like, I really wish we had some of my ice cream in the fridge. So we did not. But if I'm going to get me desserts I crave are usually, so I do like ice cream. I usually go for like the dairy-free ice cream. It's like better on my stomach. And I also love peanut butter cookies. I don't know why. Like,
what do you mean you don't know why? Because they're amazing.
Okay, I guess like who doesn't love peanut butter yeah. And then you mix it with a cookie.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why I like peanut butter cookies.
Yeah, I don't know. They're so good. And then sometimes I just love like, yeah, I love like any type of like chocolate chip cookie or peanut butter cookie. And then I love like chocolate chip banana bread. Like I love it because it's kind of like cake, but it's so easy to make. And I always have bananas like ripening, you know,
so,
like,
always. So,
like, I can basically just make it anytime. I don't because I would just eat a whole loaf by myself.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
And yeah, so yeah, I definitely treat myself to dessert every week, but just not every day.
Got it. So your book includes 10 top healthy eating habits. Is one of them related to dessert, or like what is one of your favorite tips?
I mean, I definitely have, I talk about meditation because it's such a big part of my life right now, but I also talk about just getting grounded. And I think nowadays with social media, it's so easy to feel connected, but also not. Mm-hmm. And I know that whole saying, they say like, we've never been more connected, but also alone at the same time. And not even that, but like, so it's like connecting with people in like real form, but like also connecting with like the outdoors in nature. And even though I wouldn't say I'm the most like outdoorsy, adventurous person, I love being out in nature. Like you don't have to be like climbing mountains to enjoy the outdoors. Like you can go for a hike, like a...
or a hike up a mountain. No.
Yeah. On flat ground, you know? So like going for a hike, like dipping your feet in the water. Like I just love going to the beach, being near water. And there's something about it that I crave. And I know I crave it because my body deep down needs it. Mm-hmm. And as someone who deals with anxiety, I feel like it's especially important for me to disconnect and then like reconnect with the outdoors. And having our new puppy Cashew, like it's amazing because she gets me out for walks every day. And just like the amount of pee breaks she has, I'm outside all the time. So
yes.
you know, they really do make you more outdoorsy. And I just, or go in the dog park and stuff. So I just love being outdoors as much as I can. And I really do think it does something. I don't know what it does, but like something inside and mentally that really does make a huge difference in your life.
Yeah. Well, I was expecting a food tip. Interesting you took it beyond food. I feel like that is very metaphoric for kind of what you stand for, that the food is great, but there's a lot more to being a health nut than just what you eat.
Oh, right. Yeah. Sorry. I messed that one up. But in the book, I have healthy, they're like healthy lifestyle habits, because I do think health is not just what you eat, but also what you do, what you surround yourself with, what you think and all that. Really that holistic approach kind of way.
Quick little interrupt here, and don't fast forward because you will love this free thing. I have compiled a list, a free list, which you can download at partyinmyplants.com/booklist. One word, book list, that contains every single book recommended by or written by the guests of my podcast over the past 3 years. I wanted to make it easy as apple pie for you to eat up the words from all of the books that my guests over the past 150 episodes have said will inspire you in some awesome way. So I made you this free list with all of them. Go snag it at partyinmyplants.com/booklist and get your eyes feasting on healthy for your head stuff, or listen to the audiobook so you can get your ears feasting on it too. Your ears absorbing it, right? Okay. Anyway, again, the list is at partyinmyplants.com/booklist. Did I mention it's footy? Okay. What is Health Nut Pup? Is this a new thing?
We try to like expand the business outside of just YouTube, although YouTube is a beast on its own. But we started Health Nut Pop was our second online shop. We started healthnutshop.com, which is an online wellness shop that we sell anything from like reusable, eco-friendly kitchen items to self-care. And basically we've been running that now for over a year and it's doing really well. We love it. And at the same time, we've been wanting to expand into another shop. And we had this idea, well, it was actually Matt, I can't take credit for it. So my boyfriend, Matt, had this idea to do a pet shop eventually. And he already had the name. He's like, we'll call it Health Nut Pup and we'll sell this. It'll be so much fun. And so we had this idea before we got Cashew, which is kind of funny. So when we moved into our new home, this was like beginning of spring, we moved into the house that we're in now. We've been wanting a dog for a while. And we thought, okay, we can finally get that dog that we've been thinking about for a very long time. And when we got Cashew, Matt literally, like, I swear the day we got Cashew, he was like working on Health Nut Pup, sourcing products and all that. And not only are like, Matt has grown up with dogs all of his life. He's very passionate about animals and the environment and stuff. But like, for me as a new dog mom, I was entering this dog world and I was researching, you know, the best leash, the best harness to get, the snacks to get, all these things. And I was really realizing that it was hard to find the things that kind of met my expectations, you know? And I basically, so Matt and I kind of teamed up and we basically are sourcing all these awesome products that are basically for like healthy, active lifestyle dogs and dog owners. So whether you're looking for some stuff at the cottage or camping or hiking or just like going to the beach and stuff, we have stuff for everyone. And then we always try to incorporate that whole eco-friendly, sustainable theme into our products. So now Cashew is our little Instagram model for Health Nut Pup. She has her own, she's more popular than her dad now online, but she has her own Instagram account, Cashew the Boxer. Oh. And she's super cute. I mean, I'm biased, but we're always posting about her day on there. And then she also is the most spoiled pup because she has this whole, like we have our warehouse for both the Health Nut Shop and Health Nut Pup, like in our downstairs, like the downstairs of our house.
Wait, so you actually sell these products and ship them out yourself?
Yeah, it's funny because someone else asked me that. They're like, okay, so is this like an Amazon thing?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
No, we do the fulfillment in-house, like literally.
Literally in-house.
Literally, I never realized house. That. Yeah, in-house, but for real. So,
wow.
We handwrite our thank you cards.
That sounds super easy. Low maintenance, no time, low stress.
Oh yeah. I mean, when the orders start to pile up, you're like, oh my goodness, like this is crazy. But we've already like, my brother's been helping us with the shop as well. And we hire a lot of family, you know, I got a lot of family. So
that's
I got a lot of
awesome.
People I can
get to help. That's so cool.
It's been a
family
really fun
affair. Stuff. That's awesome. Health Nut Pup. I have to check it out. It's hard to find healthy dog stuff.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We need to get, what's your pup's name?
Tommy.
We need to get Tommy some Health Nut Pup.
Oh, that'd
pup
be
here.
Awesome. Yeah. He's the best. Well, maybe I'm biased.
Oh, he is.
So I'm going to change the topic completely because I really want to talk about this before I let you go. You are in the public eye a lot with your YouTube channel, with a bajillion followers, and on Instagram and on your book and TV. And you recently had a body shaming comment asking like why you're not smaller. And you handled it amazingly on Instagram. So sorry to shift from cute dogs to this like heavy topic, but I'm really wondering how you navigate these, you know, body shaming comments. And if you could just reiterate how you responded to that, because I thought you nailed it and killed it and was very awesome.
Thank you so much. It's funny. Basically I had a comment on one of my YouTube videos. I don't remember which one, but someone said, you know, not to be rude, which anytime someone says that, you're like, okay, bring it on. It's going to be a rude comment. But not to be rude, but for someone who eats so healthy all the time and works out, I'm just surprised that you're not smaller. I can't believe that people think it's okay to say that stuff online, but
I just made a note to ask follow up after when you're done talking, and I'm just going to interrupt you with it anyway. I wrote mean comments and underlined it.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you deal. YouTube is the mecca of mean comments. I mean, it's like you take all the meanest, most aggressive, insensitive humans and put them in the YouTube comments. That's where they all live. Like, how do you, I'm just going to interrupt real quick, but how do you deal with that? How do you not let that like bring you down every day? Because I'm sure there's a lot of mean stuff on there.
Yeah, I mean, you can't put yourself out there online and not expect that not everyone's going to agree with you. Just like in real life, at your real job, coworkers and stuff, you're going to have people say nasty things, whether to your face or not. The crazy thing about the online world is that people can say mean stuff to your face and get away with it because there's just like they don't even have to put a profile pic, right? Or it can just be like some random account that you can't actually track who is behind that. So
totally.
When it comes to like mean comments or criticism and stuff, I really put it into different buckets and I try to see if there's any value to that comment and how I want to respond. So there's some criticism that, I mean, criticism can be good and bad. And I think it can really help move the business forward and improve on things. And if someone says, like, it's obviously people say it in different ways. Like sometimes someone will be like, oh my gosh, like this song is so annoying. Can you like turn it down? I can't hear what you're saying. I'm unsubscribing. And although someone may be like, oh, that's kind of really rude that they said that, I will look at those comments and think, okay, probably maybe a few other people thought the music was too loud and distracting, but they were too nice, especially if they were Canadian, let's be honest. We say sorry all the time.
They probably still want to say sorry.
Right?
I actually say sorry, but you can say sorry.
Sorry. they probably didn't want to say anything because they didn't want me, like, especially if they are a regular. I noticed the usernames of my regular viewers and stuff. They probably didn't want to like offend me in some way, but I will take those comments and look at the video and think, wait a minute, isn't background music too loud in our videos? And I will critique and basically use those comments as feedback on how to shift our videos moving forward. So those are usually quite helpful. I mean, there's nicer ways to say it, but you know, we will take them as, we'll be like, okay, thank you for the feedback. We'll improve.
Wow.
And then there's comments that are just like so rude and there's no value to them at all. And like, honestly, there's like the block button for a reason. And if I think that they're just being really rude and they're not providing any value to the conversation, I will just block them. Like, I think that's totally fine to do that. You know, if they're just like disagreeing with what I'm saying, that then, you know, they can stay and play. But like, if they're just being really rude and, you know, using swear words or like attacking other people in the comments, like I just have no like patience for that and I'll just block them. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they obviously can create a new username and come back. But like, I just block them. And I think that kind of helps manage comments. Like I really do read every comment. I have a YouTube app on my phone that makes it really easy to just like pop in and look at recent comments. And I may not respond to every single one because that would be my full-time job then. But like, I read every single one. So good or bad, it has definitely been read by me. And I just try to like be mindful of how I respond to it. So like in the case you're saying where that person said that I apparently wasn't skinny enough for their liking, I remember reading that and thinking, like, it didn't actually make me upset, if I'm going to be honest. I kind of looked at it and was like, okay, what I'm worried about is other person reading that, that maybe is bigger than me and is going to think, well, if they think Nicole isn't skinny enough and I'm bigger than her, what does that mean? Like, I'm obese. And they might now devalue themselves and think that they're not good enough or they're overweight or something like that. I was more concerned, to be honest, of other people's reactions, because like, I know myself, like I'm not overweight. I'm happy. Like, yeah, maybe like, could I get a flatter stomach? Could my arms be a little toner? Like, yeah, maybe, you know, but like, I'm comfortable the way I am. Like, I don't think I'm ever going to have a six pack. I just love food too much. So I think that because I'm comfortable in my own skin and body and I have a good support system around me, when I see comments like that, I just don't add any value to them, because unless you're a close friend or family member of mine, what you're saying to me online, I'm not going to weigh it the same way. So I took that comment, and I actually didn't write that post until I think it was like a week later.
That's good. Let it marinate a little.
Yeah. And like, to be honest, I kind of forgot about it. And then I remembered it one morning.
You're amazing. That would like really, that's really impressive that you don't let that penetrate your self-worth.
But you know what? At this point, I've been doing YouTube for a few years. So that is not the worst thing that's been said to me. I've been called like too fat, too skinny many times. So I was almost like, okay, another one. Let's do this. Mm-hmm. So one morning, I think it was after my meditation, and this is usually when I usually like get creative, juices flowing. I thought, and it maybe did come up during my actual meditation. I was done it, and I literally had my computer kind of next to me, and I wrote out that post within like 5 minutes. Like, that didn't take me long to write. It just kind of poured out of me, and it was like my true, honest opinion on what that person said and what my thoughts was about it. And I basically just said that health is different to being healthy is different to everybody. Just because you have a six pack doesn't mean that you're healthier than me, because I don't have a six pack. And I think people just need to recognize that and not focus so much on numbers and calories and all these things that we're just like told to focus on in the health industry.
Yeah.
And I think the realness, because it literally just came from my heart, and I think the realness of it and posting that out there, so many people connected. I had so many people resharing it, and it just felt like I was so happy to turn that negative comment into something positive that people really resonated with.
Yeah. I mean, it was awesome. You wrote like, healthy is a feeling. It's a state of mind, not a waist measurement, calorie intake, or number on the scale. I'm just going to quote you for a sec. Just because you are skinny does not mean you are healthy on the inside. And just because you have curves or rolls does not mean you're unhealthy on the inside. Healthy is nourishing your body from within and treating it as if it were your best friend for life. Because guess what? It is. Green heart.
Did I write that? That sounds good.
Yeah, you wrote that, girl, after your meditation. You were in some altered state.
It's funny that when something just comes from like the heart, it's just like, it's crazy how that's the stuff that really, really resonates with people the most.
Yeah. Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth? So what can everybody expect with your book? Is it just recipes? I mean, there's tips. Like, give us a little sneak peek here.
So basically, the Health Nut Cookbook has over 100 easy, healthy, and delicious recipes to energize your day. It's available for pre-order right now, and it comes out to basically like all bookstores near you September 3rd, which is really exciting.
Even in the U.S.?
Yeah, U.S., right. Canada, it's going to be everywhere. So Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Indigo, all those things.
So exciting.
And basically, it's a book for everyone. And I know that's like so cliche and stuff, but it literally is a book for everyone. There is something for plant-based, gluten-free. There's family-friendly recipes. There's a whole meal prep 101 guide in there. There's like my 10 healthy habits that we talked about. There's everything from breakfast, snacks, drinks. I'm literally reading the contents right now.
Nice.
Salads, plates and bowls, sweets, health nut staples, like I also have all of my lists of like certain, like my pantry staples, equipment that I use and love. It is literally like a book chocked full of like everything, and it will hit every taste bud note. It is delicious. Some of my best, it's confirmed my best recipes ever are in this book, and I think everyone needs it. So,
wow. Okay. Top two favorite recipes, go.
Oh, so hard. I'm literally like scrolling.
Go.
Oh my God. Okay. my Black Eyed Pea Southwest burgers are so good. They're plant-based and they look, because Black Eyed Peas burgers are like that beige color, they like look like they're chicken or something.
Yum.
They're so good.
That sounds really, really good.
I have this. So the next one is technically a staple that's in the book, but it's in a few dessert recipes and everyone needs it. It's this lemon coconut butter glaze that I swear tastes like there is powdered sugar in it. Like it, I still can't believe there isn't. It is so good. It's on a few of the different recipes and I would eat it out of like with a spoon.
What is it? What's the sweetener instead of powdered sugar? Can you tell us?
Basically, we'll just say that like coconut butter, like have you had coconut butter before?
I have, yes.
Okay, so a lot of people don't. It's basically like it's the meat of the coconut and the oil together. And when it's warmed up, it honestly has like this icing texture. Mm. And that one, I believe, is a little bit of maple syrup that's sweetened with, and it has like some lemon juice in it and some other things. And it is so easy to make. And I swear you can put it on pancakes. Like you can put it on anything or you can just eat it out of the jar and it's insane.
That's so funny. In my book, I have a lemon poppy seed muffin recipe and some of the recipe testers were like, you need like a glaze or something on top. And I think I was just like, just drizzle coconut yogurt on it. But I wish I had your recipe because that sounds like the literal perfect drizzle for my lemon poppy seed muffins. Okay, so you said something about how there's recipes in the book that are plant-based. What is your definition of plant-based?
So basically, any recipe that is, the focus of it is the plants and there's a lot of vegetables in it. So, I mean, really, like, I guess, you know, pancakes without eggs can be plant-based. But for me, plant-based doesn't necessarily mean, I actually retract what I just said about the pancakes with eggs. Because for me, plant-based is not necessarily like vegan. And it's really just about eating as much plants as you can and incorporating them into your meals. So like anytime I can, like if I'm eating pasta, I will throw in a handful of some spinach and just wilt it in there or something like that. Mm-hmm. But the main feature of the dish is plants. Cause I just think plants are so cool. You can basically make anything and everything out of them. And I prove that in this book.
Nice. Well, I wholeheartedly agree with that sentiment. In case you were wondering. What a surprise. Okay, what is your favorite plant to eat?
I'd have to say, I'm going to say kale. There's actually a photo of me holding kale in the book, but I just think kale is so versatile, whether you put it in soup, you saute it, smoothies, and it's just like such a good hearty green. And yeah, I love it.
Yeah, that's an original one. I've never heard that one before on this podcast.
I must just be really unique.
Okay, what is your most used kitchen tool?
I mean, I feel like a lot of people probably say their blender, and I definitely use my blender every morning for smoothies, but also a food processor, I feel like, does not get enough love.
I'm with you 100%.
Like, everyone needs, I have a $40 food processor that I've had for like 6 years. It's still kicking around. I probably need a new one soon. That thing is so good. There are things a blender can't do.
So many things.
I know. I use it so much in the cookbook too.
Yes.
You need to get a food processor. It is not an unnecessary kitchen tool.
I am so with you on that. I mean, even if you want to just get a mini food processor and then take a bigger recipe and divide it in half and process in batches. I travel with a mini food processor. I mean, I like cannot live without it. So I am high-fiving you from across the world here through the border.
I have mini ones too. I got my little ninja one. I make guacamole in there. I make sauces. Mm-hmm. It's and way less cleanup because it's smaller.
I know. Amazing. Right? Oh, love it. Okay. What is your favorite planty restaurant or a health nutty restaurant?
Is this in Toronto?
Sure. Yeah.
I feel like I'm boring. There's a popular one called Fresh Restaurants and they've been around forever, but like they just have like everything. If you want tacos, if you want salads, bowls, whatever, like they have something and they make plants like taste so, so good. And I always get inspired when I go there.
Good. It's called Fresh? Freshy?
Yeah.
Fresh.
Fresh. Yeah, there is Freshy, so not to be confused.
Oh.
Yeah, fresh restaurants. Nice. And if you have you been to Toronto?
A long time ago. But I'm actually going to a wedding in Buffalo in a few weeks, so I'll like wave to you. Isn't that like kind of nearby?
We go to Buffalo all the time to hit up Trader Joe's and stuff. So we should totally just like, well, we should just like have a reunion. We'll meet in Buffalo. I'll bring you some fresh and you can try it.
Let's just meet at TJ's. Meet at Trader Joe's. Right? That's so funny. So you like whip out your passport to go across the border to go to Trader Joe's.
All the time.
Oh my God.
To the point that even the border control, they're like the other, this is a few visits ago. They're like, you guys go across the border a lot.
No. Why? Because there's like stamps in your, do you get a stamp or like they recognize you?
I guess it just gets put on your record, but like we go there a lot. I need my Target fix. I need my Trader Joe's.
Oh my
and
God.
Yeah, we just love going back
so
and forth.
So funny. Okay. Well, I'm not a Trader Joe's goer just because I don't have one convenient to me, which now I realize is a bullshit excuse because you're going across countries to go to Trader Joe's. So I'm just clearly not committed enough. But for people that are TJ fanatics, what are like your top two or three things that you buy?
Everything but the bagel seasoning is really good.
I've heard good things.
The unexpected cheddar is unreal.
What is that?
It's like a cheddar cheese, but it, I don't know, there's something about it that tastes like it's a super fancy old aged cheese. And I'm not even a huge cheese person, but like this cheese is so good. So it's called Unexpected Cheddar. And then, ooh, a third one. Oh my God. Oh, they have this like, this is a random pick, but they have this almond dip. I tried it randomly there one time because they're giving samples and it is really good. Like it almost tastes like cream cheese, but it's a different texture. Like it's more supposed to be like a hummus. But it has this like cheesy taste. It's delicious. It's like the almond dip or whatever.
I'm really missing out on Trader Joe's. I used to go there. I used to buy their like dried mango. They had like freeze-dried mango, not just like dried mango, like freeze-dried. It was a little crunchy. All the frozen stuff. Yeah, I should do it. I have no excuses. You go.
Yeah, I'm gonna come meet you. I'll show you
in Toronto.
Let the Canadian show you around.
Yeah. That is amazing. That's so funny. I bet you have videos, right, about like your Trader Joe's hauls and stuff. Is that a thing?
Oh, I have so many on my channel.
Okay, cool. So we'll link to that. Okay, your favorite thing that you do for self-care. I feel like I know the answer, but just tell us.
I'm guessing you're going to say, I was going to say like smoothies or meditation.
Meditation is what I was thinking because you're really passionate about it.
Yeah, it's funny because I feel like I don't talk about it enough, but it's changed my life and I can't recommend it enough.
So when you say hypnosis, so we had Grace Smith on the – I hate when people do that. I had Grace Smith on the podcast.
I said too.
I can't. It really drives me nuts. When you're just like an I, you should not be saying we. Like it's just me.
People are like, who's we? Is someone else taking the recipe with you? I'm like, well, there is a team, but –
I know. Yeah, I know. It's so silly. Okay, so I had Grace Smith on it, who is a hypnotherapist. And we talked in depth about him. People can listen to that episode. But there is, you're right. Like, it really is a fine line between hypnosis and meditation. It's just like meditation, sometimes you envision just sitting there. It's really just guided meditation, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And I think, so I'm a huge fan of Grace Smith as well. And I followed her in the past. I don't keep up to date with her as much these days, but basically because I've been in cookbook world. But I think she said this before too, but basically like hypnosis is like meditation, but with an end goal. And so the tapes I listen to, I love guided meditation. So these are guided hypnosis tapes, and they basically have, each tape is for a specific different thing. One's for like stress release, one's for confidence, they're all different things. So it's like almost talking to your subconscious mind and almost like brainwashing yourself.
Yeah.
Anyone that thinks, well, no, hypnosis won't work for me, it's a fact that hypnosis like works. It's just like a state of relaxation and that you're able to accept these thoughts and suggestions, we'll say. When you're in that relaxed state. So you're almost just like having a conversation with your subconscious mind and like letting this guided meditation kind of put those ideas and thoughts into your mind in a non-weird way. Like you don't come out thinking like, okay, I'm going to hop like a bunny if someone claps or something.
Right.
But that's the best way for me to explain it.
That's
so
great.
Both are great. Just I think hypnosis is more of a specific end goal.
That's awesome. So what tapes do you do? Where can people do it too?
So, I mean, I can give you the person that I go to if you want to like give a link or something, but basically the tapes I listen to, they're not online. They're like, I got it from my hypnotist that I go see. Basically,
specifically for you.
Yeah. But I do think, you know, I know Grace Smith has like people that you can reach out to too as well, but like, it's one of those things that I think you should go to someone initially, learn how to do it. And like, also it keeps you more accountable. Like I did like a, I think it was a 7-week program that I was going to see this person each week. And now I only go see him once a month because I choose to, like, I could be done with it and just do it on my own. But I just like, he's not a therapist, but I pretend he is. Like, I just like someone to talk to. But I think that it's important to learn, just like going to a personal trainer, if you've never been to the gym before, learn the skills and then take it on your own and do it. So, yeah, that's, I think, great. Look, find someone local. That's what I did. And, yeah, but I can't recommend it enough. It really does change your thought patterns and the way you react to things. And I don't know, it's made me a calmer, better person, to be honest.
That's awesome. Good for you. I did not know this conversation would be so heavy in the hypnosis, but I'm here for it. I'm digging it.
Right?
Yeah. So what is a book besides your own that has inspired you in a really awesome way?
When people ask me this question, I always think of this one book that I read like years ago. So I'll say it now too. The Path to Phenomenal Health. It's by Sam Gracie, which I believe is the founder for Genuine Health. And basically the book, and it's funny, my mom actually just started reading it the other day and she doesn't even know that it was one of my favorite books, but it's basically just a book. It's so well-rounded in health and wellness and the philosophy and that he has and stuff. I really resonated with. I should really reread it because it was so long ago that I kind of like forget, but I also know that I had it impacted my views on the health industry a lot. And I just really resonated with it, but like, it was a good one. And then another one would be, I think it's called You're a Badass.
Yeah, You Are a Badass.
Yeah, that one. I really like that one. I know that one was very popular, but yes, that was a good one too.
Jen Sincero. She's great. Awesome.
Oh, I was saying Sincero. Was I saying it wrong?
You know, I always thought it was Sincero in my head, like Hermione, but then, you know, some people say Hermione, and then I would hear on interviews, they would be like, it's Jen Sincero. So then I was like, oh, okay, it's Jen Sincero.
Noted. Thank you.
There you go. Now you won't sound like an idiot moving forward. You're so welcome. Okay, so you, where can people get your book, stay connected to you? I mean, this is a obvious question, YouTube, bookstores, but just tell us things.
So pretty much if they want to learn more about the book and what it's all about and see like some pretty photos and sneak peeks, we have a beautiful landing page. Just go to the healthnutcookbook.ca or .com if you're coming from the States, and there's all the information there as well as where to pre-order the book. And then if you just want to find me, I'm on YouTube, Health Nut Nutrition. I'm on Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook, all the things at Your Health Nut, like You Are Health Nut, because I thought that was a fun name years ago. But yeah, basically I'm everywhere all the time. Insta story every day. I love being connected online. So you can get sick of me pretty quickly.
Do you not get sick of being on all the time?
I don't know. I genuinely just love like being connected online. So even when I tell Matt, like, okay, I'm not going to be on Instagram today, I'll still kind of sneak in some stories, but I won't be like fully online. So, and we obviously like bulk film a lot of stuff and whatnot, and then we kind of trickle it like throughout the weeks. So it seems like I'm online more than I actually am because I have such an amazing team, but I really do, like, I'm an avid YouTube watcher, not just like a content creator, but like, I really do love, I use the platforms that I also use for business.
That's awesome. Great. Well, thank you so much. I know this was so long, but it's been so fun. And I've been watching you for like, since I started, at least even maybe before. I've been watching you from the beginning, silently over here, a silent fan. So thank you for all that you do and just staying so real. And I just think you have such a healthy perspective with health and also non-competition in business. And you're just great.
Oh, I'm so honored that you said that. Thank you so much. I love what you do. And I know I said earlier on our email that today's National Avocado Day. So
All
I
right.
expect some avocado puns, in your intro. I honestly like your puns. I laugh all the time. So keep them coming. And I just love the energy that you put out into the world. And I just think you're amazing. So right back at
You
you.
did not have to come back with compliments, but I deeply appreciate it. And now, what is an avocado pun? I'm trying to think avocado of good fat. What else? Well, I'm just trying to think.
Have an avo. Wait. Oh, I know. I was like, wait, is she gonna put me on the spot for
Oh, there
avocado?
you go. There you go now.
I don't know, but like, I feel
I'll work on it. I'll work on it for
okay.
the
Yeah, I
intro.
should really know. I eat them more than I talk about them,
Then you make
I
jokes with
guess.
them. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. Bottom line, as per usual, eat more plants, right? Always and forever. Sorry, I'm a little tired. I could really use some matcha. Hey, have you tried Tenzo's matcha yet? I kid you not. It's really, really, really good. For reals, check it out and everything Nicole related in the show notes at partyinmyplants.com/156.